KALW.
Hi, what's up? What's up? Welcome to Uncuffed, where we give people the freedom to share their stories from inside prison walls and beyond. You're here with Anthony Stick Talk Ivy. I stick to the truth and talk about the truth. I recently been uncuffed myself after 12 long years behind them bars, man. I'm now living my life on the outside, navigating through this new chapter. My journey's been a little different than most. During my time in Solano, I was one of six guys selected to join KALW's Uncuffed podcast program, where I learned to be a storyteller / producer. Yeah, it's been an incredible experience, and I've been blessed to earn some recognition for Uncuffed stories that later aired on the podcast Snap Judgment and NPR's All Things Considered. And since getting out, I've been hired and mentored by Uncuffed. I'm really learning what it means to be a professional and how to show up in new ways. I'm currently enrolled in KALW's Audio Academy program and Uncuffed Audio Engineer class. I'm also working as an associate producer for the DJ Uncuffed playlist, which lets me keep exploring storytelling through music. If y'all ain't heard that, go listen to that. None of this would be possible without Uncuffed support. This program has been life-changing, and it's the most meaningful, preparation-focused experience I've ever had. It's the best thing I did on the inside to prepare myself for life on the outside. Hold on, did y'all hear what I said, though? It's the best thing I did on the inside to prepare myself for life on the outside. That's true speak. Having this backing right after release is very crucial. It's helped me adjust and stay on track, and that's powerful for anyone working to avoid going back to prison. That's why I'm encouraging people to support Uncuffed. It's not just a program, it's a bridge to success for people both on the inside and on the outside. If you want to be a part of that change, go to kalw.org/uncuffed/donate. Now, as a thank you for our listeners, we're dropping this bonus episode with one of the first stories I did with Uncuffed. If the doctors told you you'd never walk again, would you believe them? Keith Paul Jones said no. A drug deal gone bad transformed his life in an instant. He went from an active husband and a father to lying in a hospital bed, unable to move his leg for almost 2 years. Jones shared this story with me about how his world was torn apart and rebuilt. A quick note, this story includes description of violence, but it's not meant to glorify anything, but instead to share truth from his journey. Check it out. Here's Uncuffed's story of Keith Paul Jones.
Hey, check me out. You here with Anthony Stick Talk Ivy, where we stick to the truth and talk about the truth. Here on Uncuffed, when you had the freedom to tell your story.
I told myself time and time again, this time I'm gonna win. My name is Keith Paul Jones. I'm from Riverside, and I'm 61 years old.
So give me a little background about getting in the drug selling business.
It was from a young age. I come from a big family. There's 16 of us, and I'm the baby boy. I got five brothers. One was in the service, but the others was Black Panthers. And they had drugs around me all my life. I seen big bags of drugs, and I used to steal the weed and smoke it. And I got to selling. I would sneak the weed and make me bags and sell joints.
How much are you selling them for?
$1 a joint. Colombian gold. Back in the 70s, 74, 75. I won number like 14, 15 years old.
So did you feel like you had to sell that?
No, it was what me and my partners were doing. We all smoked the weed back then, and I had action at it. you know, so that's why I basically got it for all of us to get high. And we would go down to the store and get us some White Port and Thunderbird and drink. From there, it went from one drug to another.
So let's get into this incident.
Right.
What happened?
I had a pretty cool dope, so I was buying like 3-4 ounces at a time. And I'm driving. My wife is on the passenger side, and I'm pulling out, and I'm coming down the street. Just hit the corner, coming up the block, it's a dude that I know. He stopped, I stopped. He wanted a $40 pay, so I get it out the bag and tell my wife to go. She said, no, straight out, don't do it.
She felt something.
Yeah, she said, don't do it. I said, man, get out the car and go and take care of that. And she said, no. I jump out the car, and I go to the passenger window, and I say, all right, I got my whole sack in my hand. And I said, what you want, $40 worth here? I'm getting him out the bag. I hand him two, but he hit my hand and hit the gas at the same time. I jumps in the window, but he came to do what he did because he had a gun in the car also. So when I jump in the window and I place myself in the car like I came up on the block with it.
You Wild Wild West right now, hopping in that window.
Yeah, because I never been robbed before either. And my thinking back then, my thing was, you're going to have to kill me. And he was going down the street driving wild, digging. He digging for his gun. Because when he got around the corner, he stopped and pulled it up. Said, get out. I'm not finna turn my back to that. When he pulled the gun up, I reached for it. And he jumped back and bent the gun over and pop, he hit me in my arm. I hit him in the shoulder and I locked him up against the door, the car door.
You ever think that you was gonna die at this point when he's shooting?
No. When I'm in the street, I'm not scared like that. I know I'm gonna die one day. I don't know when, but I know that's gonna happen. That's how I think. That's my thinking. You know what I'm saying? And that keeps me calm in situations like that.
Okay. So you shot up. What happened after you got shot up in the car?
Now, when I heard the gun go click, click, I fired on him. Bam. Right? So when I fired on him, my nephew appeared right there at the window, grabbed his hand, reached in, grabbed a gun. That's when God came in and wasn't no more bullets in there. I'll be doing a life sentence right now. That's where I got blessed. But I was still paralyzed. I tried to get out the car when my nephew had him. I couldn't move.
How did you get to the hospital?
My wife took me. She shot down Magnolia, took me to community hospital. The doctor told me that I had a 50-50 chance. He believed that I wouldn't be able to walk again.
So when you heard this, what kind of thoughts was going through your mind?
I knew it wasn't the truth. Anytime something that deep happened to you, God gonna have to be inside you. He gonna have that voice. You'll know.
I can't really imagine like how it is if somebody told me that, you know, I was partially paralyzed. So, after he told you that, what happened after that? What effects did you go?
You know, I had doubt after about a year and a half. I couldn't even wiggle my toes. My wife used to bathe me, take me to the bathroom, bathe me. I get mad at her.
So you said she was wiping your ass?
Oh, washing me up like a baby for a year and something.
How long did it take for you to get any feeling anywhere?
About a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Did this bring any depression to you?
Yes. At times, you get very depressed.
What was the thoughts that were going through your head when you was depressed?
I might not be able to walk no more. And I really get depressed when I can't do nothing to my wife to satisfy her sexually.
I know that had to weigh on you a lot.
Yeah, I couldn't do nothing. We tried, and it wouldn't have happened. You know what I'm saying? So
tell me, what kind of things did y'all do to get your rehab up and started?
Me and my wife, she went to all the things with me. So what we did, we would get up and get in the wheelchair, and I'll put her in the wheelchair, and I'll try to push with one leg. When I got my feelings back, then my toes wiggle.
All right, earlier, man, you said as soon as you got shot and they told you that, you knew that you was going to get to walk again. But later, you told me that sometimes you had doubts in your mind that you wasn't going to walk again.
Okay, now I can tell you like this. You know, I can only keep it 100 like you said in the beginning. I'm a God-fearing man, okay? I'm God-fearing. I used to go to church with mama then when I was a baby walking down a dirt road in Ripley. You know, I believe in God and I know he's with me 100%. But there come times in your life also when tragic happened to you that you're going to lose a little bit of faith. I straddle the fence. And now, you know, I only conclusion you can come to is good Lord trying to tell you, you know, to do the right thing.
That's it for this special episode of Uncuffed. You can subscribe to Uncuffed in any podcast player or find us at weareuncuffed.org. And season 4 drops early next year. The Uncuffed outside team includes Nina Gassler Debs, Angela Johnston, Sonia Paul, Kathy Novak, Kelly McEvers, Sheree Cannon, James Rollins, Eli Wertschafter, and Eric Maserati E. Abercrombie. Our theme music is by David Jossie. All content from the inside is approved by a public information officer. Uncuffed is a production of KALW Public Media. We get support from the California Arts Council, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, the Unlikely Collaborators Foundation, and listeners like you. Support the show at kalw.org/uncuffed/donate. This is Anthony Stick Talk Ivy. Thanks for listening.